turns gold. There's a cold monkey with a heart so bold, tapping on keys like they're made of pure soul. Building dreams out of digits, making websites roll. Oh, Austin Cold Monkey, working all night. SEO wizard making ladies take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the consummate king of the SEO show.
So go ahead and open up your website's analytics dashboard right now. Just, you know, picture it.
Oh, yeah. We all know that view.
Right. You've got that solid green line telling you your search ranking for, like, your absolute biggest keyword is holding perfectly steady at number one.
Which is supposed to mean you're doing everything right.
Exactly. You figure traffic should just be flowing in seamlessly. But what if I told you that green line is completely lying to you?
Yeah, lying right to your face.
Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are taking a look at a massive, entirely silent shift in how internet search is functioning right now.
It's a huge deal.
It really is. And our mission today is to decode why the traditional metrics you rely on to, you know, measure your digital success, why they might actually be masking a catastrophic loss in visibility.
Because what we're looking at is essentially a fundamental uncoupling of rank and traffic.
Which sounds kind of terrifying for a business owner.
It is. We're operating in this new environment where simply knowing your position on a search page, it's only answering half the question.
Right. And today's roadmap for figuring out the other half comes from a dispatch. It's dated August 7th, 2026, and it was published by Austin Code Monkey.
Yeah, the SEO and AI search optimization firm out in Texas.
That's the one. They put out this incredible report highlighting a core revelation that honestly changes how we all need to look at data.
Because it turns out that other half of the question, the part your traditional dashboards aren't explicitly spelling out, is dictating where the lion's share of internet traffic is actually going.
Exactly. But to really get to the bottom of this new reality, we actually need to rewind. Just a few days from the date of that report.
Right. Back to a very specific, very strange anomaly.
Yeah, we have to look at what happened to the internet between August 1st and August 3, 2026.
Because if you understand the mechanics of that weekend, I mean, you basically understand the baseline of this entire problem.
The Phantom Search Shuffle.
That's a great name for it.
Right. That three-day window was just wild for anyone paying attention to search data.
Oh, totally. Every major third-party tracking tool out there was going crazy.
Yeah, I'm talking SEMrush Sensor, Mozcast, AccuRanker, Systrix, all of them.
They all had their alarms blaring simultaneously.
Right. And just for context, these tools measure the volatility of search results, like how much websites are bouncing up and down the page on any given day.
And Barry Schwartz, over at Search Engine Roundtable, he flagged this massive spike in movement almost immediately.
It did. The volatility was just off the charts.
Sites were gaining and losing visibility literally by the hour. But, you know, the truly fascinating part is the stark contrast between what those independent tracking tools were seeing out in the wild.
And the official narrative coming from Google.
Exactly.
Because I went looking for the official explanation for this massive earthquake. But if you look at Google's search status dashboard for those specific dates, there are zero confirmed ranking incidents.
Nothing. Crickets.
Literally nothing.
Yeah.
The last official algorithm update they even acknowledged was a spam update way back in June of 2026.
And we should point out, this Argus movement wasn't just some one-off glitch. There were similar, completely unacknowledged tremors on July 18th, July 19th, and July 24th.
So we are looking at real, measurable movement across millions of search queries.
Right, but absolutely no official algorithm update to point to as the cause.
And there was a very specific pattern to this unconfirmed movement, right?
Yeah, there was.
During that August window, search optimizers noticed that YouTube videos were suddenly getting pushed significantly higher in the search results.
Which changes the whole game.
Completely. Yeah. You aren't just battling other blogs or like e-commerce storefronts for that top spot anymore. You are actively competing against non-text content.
Exactly. A 10-minute video might just vault right over your carefully researched, you know, 5,000-word article.
So unfair.
Well, that video shift is a massive clue, though. It tells us that the engine isn't just reevaluating text anymore.
Right.
It's actively reevaluating the actual format that best answers the user's intent.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second because I want to challenge the premise of this Phantom update.
Sure, go for it.
If Google's official dashboard stubbornly insists that absolutely nothing changed in their core ranking systems, why are we trusting the third-party tools?
It's a fair question.
So are we entirely sure SEMrush and Mozcast aren't just hallucinating this movement because their own baseline algorithms are, I don't know, outdated?
Oh!
It feels like looking out the window, seeing a torrential downpour on your street, and your weather app is stubbornly telling you it's perfectly sunny. Why trust the tools over the source?
It's a crucial question. You're basically asking, are the measurement tools broken? Or is the reality of the search page broken?
Right, exactly.
The data heavily suggests the tools are accurate, but we really have to understand how they measure things.
Okay, how do they do it?
So Google's dashboard reports on core structural changes to their algorithm-like backend shifts.
Okay.
Third-party tools, however, measure the front end. They deploy bots to scrape the actual rendered pixels on a search results page.
Oh, I see. So they look at what a human would actually see on their screen.
Exactly. So to use your analogy, the weather app isn't hallucinating the sun, it's just looking at back-end atmospheric data.
Well, the tracking tools are literally standing in your front yard with a rain gauge.
Precisely. The movement is real, even if Google isn't formally categorizing it as a traditional algorithm update.
Wow. Okay, and that disconnect between the back-end algorithms saying everything is fine and the front-end reality of pages just bouncing all over the place, that leads directly into the biggest trap highlighted in the Austin Code Monkey Dispatch.
Yes, they call it the analytics illusion.
The analytics illusion.
And this is exactly where the diagnostic waters get incredibly muddy for anyone looking at their website data.
Because if you log into Google Search Console right now, a traditional rank drop and a citation loss look absolutely identical.
They look exactly the same.
Both of them manifest as, you know, fewer clicks, less user traffic, and a sad downward pointing trend line.
Right.
But mechanically, they're completely different animals.
Hmm. We all know what a traditional rank drop looks like. You haven't updated your content in a while, maybe a competitor built some better backlinks, and you naturally slide from position 2 down to position 7.
You physically move down the page.
Exactly. But a citation loss, as the report defines it, means your rank didn't move a single inch.
Your green line is still totally steady.
You are still sitting perfectly at position 2. But an AI overview just started generating at the top of that specific search query.
Right.
And the AI decided not to cite your website as a source.
So you didn't lose your traditional rank?
No. You lost your visibility inside the AI's synthesized answer box.
Wow.
You are still mathematically near the top, but visually, you've been entirely buried.
Let me try to visualize this. It's like, say you own a brick-and-mortar storefront on Main Street.
Okay, I like this.
A traditional rank drop means your store got physically picked up and relocated to a dark back alley.
Right, location, location, location. Obviously, your foot traffic counter is going to drop.
Exactly. But a citation loss means your store is still sitting right there on Main Street. The address hasn't changed at all.
Still right in the middle of town.
But overnight, someone constructed a massive glowing neon billboard on the sidewalk directly in front of your front doors.
Yep.
So people are gathering on the sidewalk to read the billboard, and they aren't even bothering to walk around it to get into your actual store.
That is the exact mechanism of a citation loss.
But wait, if I'm still the number one organic search result sitting right behind that billboard, how much traffic can I really be losing?
A lot.
Doesn't holding the number one spot still inherently mean I'm going to get the most clicks? Like, humans are used to scrolling. Aren't they just going to scroll past the AI to get to my number one result?
See, that is the logical historical assumption.
Right.
For 2 decades, we've been trained that the number one blue link is the ultimate prize.
Always.
But the cold, hard statistics on user behavior completely shatter that assumption today. That neon billboard doesn't just distract your foot traffic, it intercepts it almost entirely.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Let's look at those statistics, because they are genuinely staggering.
They really are.
Austin Code Monkey pulled data from Ahrefs, and they found that when an AI overview generates above the number one organic search result, that top result suffers a 58% drop in click-through rate.
58% of your traffic just vaporized instantly simply by the presence of the AI summary above you.
That is brutal.
And Pew Research dug into the psychology of this from the user's perspective, which is fascinating.
What did they find?
They found that when there is no AI overview on a page, a user will click an organic search result about 15% of the time.
Okay, 15%.
But the moment an AI overview is present, that organic click rate plummets to just 8%.
Wow. Cut in half.
Think about the psychological mechanism there. When a user types a query, They have a problem to solve, right?
Right.
Historically, the search engine handed them a list of potential solutions, and the user had to do the hard work of clicking, reading, and synthesizing the information themselves.
Yeah, hunting for the answer.
Exactly. The AI overview fundamentally removes that cognitive load. The AI acts as an intermediary, reading the pages and synthesizing the answer for them.
So the work is done.
Precisely. By the time the user finishes reading the AI summary, their problem is solved.
So the traditional web pages sitting underneath are rendered basically obsolete because the user's intent has already been satisfied.
You got it. And this interception is happening everywhere. We aren't just talking about a small beta test on a few obscure queries.
No, definitely not. BrightEdge data from February 2026 shows that AI overviews were appearing on 48% of all monitored search queries.
Basically, half the internet has a billboard in front of it.
Yes. And that's just the baseline average across all industries.
Right, because the dispatch points out that the 48% number climbs to nearly 80% when you look at searches related to health, education, and research.
Wait, 80%?
Yeah, 8 out of 10 searches.
But let me stop here, because looking at my notes, there is a massive mathematical contradiction in this data that we really need to sort out.
Oh, what's the contradiction?
Well, you just laid out the Pew Research data showing that organic click rates plummet from 15% down to 8% when the AI shows up.
Right.
The total number of clicks drops off a cliff. But in the very next section of this report, Seer Interactive data claims that brands cited inside the AI overview earned 35% more organic clicks.
Oh, yes.
That math is breaking my brain. If the total clicks are being vaporized by the AI, how can being cited inside the AI result in a 35% increase in clicks? Are clicks vanishing, or are they multiplying?
That is a brilliant catch, and it gets to the very heart of why this shift is so wildly disruptive.
Okay, explain it to me.
It's not a contradiction, it's a consolidation.
A consolidation?
Yeah. Think of total search traffic as a pie. When an AI overview appears, the pie shrinks dramatically. That's the drop from 15% to 8%.
Right, because most users get their answer and leave without clicking anything.
Exactly. But for that remaining 8% who do actually want to click a link to read more deeply, they overwhelmingly click the links provided inside the AI's citation list rather than scrolling down to the traditional results.
Oh, well, I see.
The AI is essentially a filter. It reduces total clicks, but it funnels almost all of the remaining clicks directly to its cited sources.
So if you were cited by the AI, you were getting a massive slice of a smaller pie.
Right, which still nets out to 35% more traffic than the guy sitting in traditional position one who got left out of the summary entirely.
That makes perfect sense. The pie shrinks, but the cited source eats almost the whole thing.
Exactly.
Which leads me to this question. If AI is dominating 80% of those searches in fields like medicine and higher education, is traditional SEO effectively dead for a doctor's office or a university?
It's the big question.
Like, should they just fire their SEO agencies and give up on trying to rank on the traditional page entirely?
It's definitely the existential dread a lot of industries are grappling with right now. But no, traditional SEO is not dead.
Okay, good.
It's just that the ultimate prize has changed. Think of traditional SEO as getting your book into the local library.
Okay.
You need the right title, the right categorization, the right keywords, so the library system knows what your book is actually about.
Right.
But being cited in the AI overview, that's like the head librarian standing on a desk reading your specific book aloud to a crowd of people.
Well, that's a great way to put it.
You still need to be in the library. You still need those baseline SEO elements. But the goal is no longer just resting on the top shelf. The goal is to be the source the librarian trusts enough to read from.
Citation is the new position one.
Exactly. And that Seer Interactive data didn't just stop at organic clicks, by the way.
Oh, right, the paid clicks data.
Yeah, they tracked what happens to paid advertising. And this is the metric that should make every business owner sit up straight.
Let's hear it.
Brands that are cited organically inside an AI overview earn a staggering 91% more paid clicks than uncited brands sitting in position one.
91%. Wait, really? Okay, we have to unpack the mechanics of that.
It's wild.
Why would an organic text citation inside an AI summary make a user almost twice as likely to click a paid advertisement for that same company further down the page or on a completely different network entirely?
It all comes down to cognitive load and the transfer of trust.
Trust, okay.
When a user asks a complex question, they are inherently in a state of uncertainty. They don't know the answer. The AI overview generates this calm, authoritative, synthesized answer.
Right. It sounds very confident.
It acts as an impartial, hyper-intelligent entity. When that AI explicitly cites, say, Austin CodeMonkey as the source of its knowledge, it is effectively transferring its own perceived authority to that brand.
It's like pre-click trust.
Precisely. The AI is generating pre-click trust. The AI just acted as a digital consultant recommending a specialist.
Wow.
So minutes or even hours later, when that same user is scrolling and sees a paid ad for Austin CodeMonkey, their brain takes a shortcut.
Because the brand is already validated.
Exactly. The friction of, can I trust this company, has been completely removed by the AI's prior endorsement.
That is an incredibly powerful psychological lever.
It really is.
And it underscores the brutal reality outlined in this dispatch. Being ranked first in the traditional blue links, but being invisible inside the AI summary above it, is now financially worse than being ranked lower down the page, but being quoted by the AI.
It rewrites the entire rules of engagement, which is exactly why the report introduces a vital distinction between traditional SEO and what they are calling AIO.
AIO, AI search optimization.
Yes. They are two distinct disciplines now. They share the same starting materials, your website, your text, your data.
Right.
But the mechanism of retrieval is totally different. If you have fantastic content, but you aren't showing up when someone asks ChatGPT, Perplexity, or Google's AI overview about your specific industry, you do not have an SEO problem.
You have an AIO problem.
Exactly.
So to use an analogy, traditional SEO is like making sure you're listed alphabetically in the yellow pages.
Yeah.
But AIO is actively convincing the hotel concierge to personally recommend your restaurant to a guest.
That is a perfect way to conceptualize it. It is an active synthesized recommendation versus a passive algorithmic sorting.
But let me play devil's advocate here for a second.
Go for it.
If AIO and SEO rely on the exact same sorting materials, like my website, my text, my business data, aren't they basically just doing the exact same work?
I hear this a lot.
Like, isn't AIO just a trendy new acronym agencies are using to sell the exact same consulting hours?
It's a completely fair critique, and the tech industry is certainly prone to pushing jargon, but mechanically, it is absolutely not the same work.
Why not?
Because fixing an AIO problem requires a completely different diagnostic approach and a totally different data structure.
Okay.
You cannot just throw 50 new backlinks at an AIO problem and expect the AI to suddenly understand your context. You need a new playbook to even diagnose what is broken before you can attempt to fix it.
And thankfully, Austin CodeMonkey actually provides that diagnostic playbook in the report.
Yes, they lay out a very specific, practical two-step check.
It's straightforward. But it requires you to look at your data in a very deliberate order. So step one, you pull your Search Console position data for your top 10 pages over the last 2 weeks.
Right, you're looking for a divergence.
Exactly. Did your actual rank number move down, or did your position hold steady while just the click count dropped?
You are establishing the baseline reality of the page. Basically, did your store get moved to the alley, or is the billboard blocking your door?
Such a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Then you move to step two, which they call the manual audit.
And this step requires you to take off the data analyst hat and put on the user hat.
Right.
You have to open up an incognito browser and manually search your five most important keywords right now.
You look at the actual live results page on your screen.
Exactly. Does an AI overview generate at all? And if it does, where are you?
Are you cited prominently? Are you cited but buried behind a drop-down arrow? Or are you completely missing from the summary altogether?
And the combination of those two steps gives you your real diagnosis.
So, to summarize the outcomes, if your Search Console position held steady, but your clicks dropped, and your manual search reveals an AI overview that doesn't include you, you have a citation problem.
Right, and the dispatch is explicit about this. No amount of traditional on-page keyword tweaking is going to solve a citation problem.
Because the AI isn't looking for keyword density.
No, it's looking for structured knowledge. Conversely, if your position in Search Console actually did drop from 1 down to 6, then you investigate that using normal SEO methods.
You check your site speed, your backlinks, your competitors' new content.
Exactly. Traditional fixes for traditional drops.
So if I realize I have a citation problem, how do I actually fix it? The philosophy here revolves around a concept the report calls feeding the AI.
Feeding the AI, yes.
And it mentions optimizing for an ask maps world. Let's break those concepts down mechanically because they sound very abstract.
Yeah.
What is an ask map and how do you feed an AI?
Well, let's start with how large language models actually read a page.
Okay.
Old school Google bots used to crawl a page and essentially tally up words. If you said Austin SEO agency 15 times, the bot assumed that's what you were.
Right. Keyword density.
But an LLM doesn't read like that. It extracts factual entities and maps the relationships between them.
Wait, what exactly is an entity in this context?
An entity is a distinct, verifiable concept. So Austin is a location entity. SEO is a service entity. Your specific brand name is a business entity.
Oh.
The LLM reads your site and builds a massive mathematical web connecting those concepts. So feeding the AI means structuring your website's data in the back end, using schema markup and highly descriptive factual language so the LLM doesn't have to guess how your entities connect.
You handed the facts on a silver platter.
Exactly. You leave zero room for misinterpretation.
And how does that tie into an ASK map?
An ASK map is essentially the AI's internal decision tree for answering a complex query.
Decision tree. Got it.
If a user asks the AI, what are the best running shoes for flat feet? The AI's ASK map immediately branches into related concepts. It looks for podiatrist recommendations, material science, user durability reviews.
So it's looking for all the connected entities.
Right. If you want the AI to cite you, your data needs to be structured so cleanly that you become the most reliable node on that specific decision tree.
So you aren't just ranking for the keyword running shoes.
No, you are providing the structured factual entity that definitively connects running shoes to Arch support.
It's about providing the meat, not just the packaging.
Perfectly said.
But I have to push back on the methodology here again.
Go ahead.
We are talking about hyper-advanced, neural network-driven, generative AI search engines in the year 2026.
We are.
And the cutting-edge advice for auditing this is to open an incognito browser window and manually Google my top five keywords like it's 2010.
I know.
Why isn't there a clean, automated dashboard that just scrapes this data for me? It feels remarkably analog.
It absolutely feels analog. And believe me, it is incredibly frustrating for data scientists right now.
I bet.
But the reason it has to be manual goes to the very architecture of generative AI. It is hyper-personalized, localized, and highly dynamic.
What do you mean by dynamic in this context?
Well, an AI overview isn't a static web page that gets compiled once a week.
Right.
It is generated in real time based on shifting parameters. The AI might weigh the context completely differently based on the time of day, the location of the IP address, or even subtle tweaks to its own language model parameters.
Oh, wow.
Automated scrapers struggle to track AI overviews because the AI might generate a massive summary for a user searching from an office in Texas, but decide to skip the summary entirely for a mobile user in New York typing the exact same query.
So a scraper might tell you there is no AI overview, but half your actual customers are seeing one.
Precisely. The dynamic nature of the generation means that manual, real-time checks, from the perspective of your target demographic, they are really the only way to know for sure what your customers are actually experiencing in that specific moment.
You literally have to see if the neon billboard is turned on today.
But you have to look with your own eyes.
Okay, so let's synthesize all of this for you listening right now. If there is one actionable takeaway to write down from this dispatch, it is this. A sudden drop in your website traffic does not automatically mean your content is failing or your business is losing its edge.
Not at all.
It might simply mean you have become invisible to the AI that is currently standing as a gatekeeper between you and your customers.
The metrics you used to trust blindly are now prone to serious misdirection.
Citation is the new position one.
It really is. It is a fundamental paradigm shift in how we structure information for the internet. But, you know, as we adapt to this, it does raise a much larger, almost philosophical question that this report leaves hanging.
Oh, what's that?
Well, the current advice is to structure your data perfectly, right?
Yeah.
To feed the AI so clearly that it has no choice but to cite you over the competition.
Give it the meat.
But what happens when the dust settles? What happens when every single business catches on, perfectly optimizes their entity relationships, and feeds the LLMs impeccably clean data?
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
When an AI looks at 10 perfectly formatted, identical businesses, how does it choose who gets the citation?
That is a fascinating problem.
For 20 years, we fought an algorithmic war trying to decode Google's predictable blue links. Are we simply trading that familiar battlefield for a new, infinitely more opaque war taking place entirely inside the black box mind of an artificial intelligence?
It's a chilling thought. You're no longer just trying to please a search engine. You are trying to win an argument inside a digital brain that we honestly don't fully understand.
That is a heavy question to ponder as you check your analytics this week. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep learning, keep questioning the mechanics of the information landscape around you, and we'll catch you in the next one.
New from the Austin Code Monkey Underground Lab, the Austin Code Monkey AI Review Response Generator. Our SEO chimp got tired of writing review replies, so we built AI. Utilize it for your business because nobody opens their laptop excited to reply to Google, Yelp, Facebook, and TripAdvisor reviews. Visit Austin Code Monkey for more details at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin Code Monkey delivers expert web design and SEO services for businesses that want more calls, more leads, and more jobs. Our SEO strategies ensure your online presence keeps growing and bringing in results. For more information, call 737-932-7532 or visit our website at austincodemonkey.com.
Code Monkey, working all night. SEO wizard making rankings take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the code swinging king of the SEO show.